Amen. If you've got your Bible, please turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I read the prologue to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read from 2 Peter in a minute. Hey, let me ask you this. Do you have any Bible heroes? Obviously, the theme of the Bible is Jesus, who paid for our sins on the cross. But who are some of your Bible heroes? A lot of people like King David. A lot of people like Moses, who parted the Red Sea. Any people that especially from the pages of Scripture stick out to you? Pardon? Joseph and Josiah. Elijah on Mount Carmel. He was bold, wasn't he? Any others? Samuel, yes. Daniel, Samson, the Apostle Paul. I had a professor in seminary, Dr. Harold Wilmington. Bill, you know that name? Wrote Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. His hero was the Apostle Paul. And Dr. Wilmington talked about how Paul might be the greatest Christian that ever lived, most productive, and Paul is great. But do you know who I really love in Scripture is Peter? I really do. Now, what did Peter do for a living? He was a fisherman, right? Hey, by the way, every now and then I'll be at a university speaking and somebody will say, well, you know, Christianity is just kind of weak for weaklings. Now, you think about this. History tells us that those Jewish fishermen, they had these nets that were basically woven rope and, you know, saturated with water, they would be very heavy. They said the fishermen could throw those nets 15 to 30 feet off the edge of a boat. You throw a big, heavy, probably weighed a couple hundred pounds, you throw that thing 30 feet, you're not a little weakling. And you know, Peter was man enough that he grabbed the sword of a Roman soldier. Roman soldiers were in peak physical condition, grabbed the sword of a Roman soldier and cut the guy's ear off and was willing to fight. Of course, Jesus rebuked him and said no. And the last miracle Jesus did before going to the cross was to heal the ear of the person that Peter injured. But I love Peter. I relate to Peter because Peter was a guy, we hear a lot of, that we always hear people say, well, Peter said whatever came to his mind and Jesus had to rebuke him and Peter denied Christ three times. I want to talk for a minute about Peter's failures, but also about Peter's successes and how God used him, because God wants to use all of us. And even when we make a mistake, or even when we stumble, or even when we do something and we look back and we kind of beat ourselves up, listen, God is not done with you, just as God was not done with Peter. We need to realize that God is in the business of using broken vessels. It's a beautiful thing. Do you remember that Kenny Rogers song? This is 30 years ago. Kenny Rogers had a little song about a boy that was going to bat, and he threw up a ball, swung the bat, and he missed over and over and over. And the daddy's watching the little boy who cannot hit that ball, throw it up, swing, and miss. And the little boy says to himself, oh, I get it. I must be the best pitcher in the world. Now, that's a positive attitude, isn't it? Oftentimes in the Christian life, we tell ourselves that God is not going to do something great through us. We tell ourselves that God has abandoned us or God is through with us. Or we sort of look to the negative. Peter is a great example that we should look to the positive. Now look at 2 Peter chapter 1. The second letter of Peter reads a little bit like the first. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now 1 Peter, he had opened up. He declares his allegiance to Jesus. A bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. So look at this. All right, he's writing to some fellow Christians and he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you who have this like faith. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. We all would like grace and peace to be multiplied to us. How is it? In the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now I love 2 Peter 1:4. By which we have been given great exceeding promises, exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, we have exceeding great precious promises from God. We do. We could talk for the rest of the day about what those promises are. That through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world. Okay, what are some of those promises of God that Peter knew and Peter preached? Obviously that our sins were paid for, that we could be saved. Do you remember in John chapter 6, Peter said, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. In Matthew 16, but who do you say that I am? Asked Jesus. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter knew these great promises, didn't he? Salvation. But do you know what some of the great and exceeding precious promises also include? That God forgives us even when we stumble. If you read the Bible, you read 1 John 1:9. We often use this in evangelism, but it was really written to Christians. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, that's written to Christians. Even when we sin and stumble, He loves us and He's not done with us. I love Joel 2:25 that says, God restores the years the locust has eaten. Sometimes if the locusts eat up your crops, you're done for till the next year. But God is so big and so powerful that He can restore the years the locust has eaten. Friend, we've got so many great promises. So let's talk about Peter a little bit, and I want to show some life lessons, maybe some parallels that would encourage you. Now, what are some of the bum rap Peter gets? He gets criticized. All right, he's a fisherman. He's a working man. And he was not one of the Pharisees or a man of letters or education. And it is assumed Peter always blurted out whatever came out of his mouth. In fact, think about this. Now, just think about this. Peter says, Lord, I will never let them arrest and crucify you. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Hey, man, if Jesus calls you Satan, that's not something you'd put on your resume, is it? How about this? When Peter denied Jesus three times, isn't that something? And Peter, you know, seemed to be, in a way, one of the reasons I relate to him, if he could think it, he would say it. And so we get all these things that he seemed to speak too soon. He cuts off the ear of Malchus there in the garden. So here are some of the things that people levy against Peter. But maybe the worst thing of all, do you know, besides blurting things out and picking a fight with a Roman soldier and cutting off Malchus' ear, denying Jesus, and the cock crowed and Jesus looked at Peter, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Do you remember one other major misstep in the life of Peter? You'll read about it like in Galatians. He compromised with the Judaizers. Now, Peter had preached at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit had come. This is several years after the cross. But apparently, Jewish leaders went to Peter and said, look, it is salvation by grace, but you've got to add works to it. Don't forget the works of the law. And Peter compromised with the works salvation people. I mean, that's bad to get the message wrong. Now, hang with me here. And so Paul said, I withstood him to his face. In other words, the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who got saved in Acts chapter 9, Saul, a.k.a. Paul, had to go get up in Peter's business and say, hey, you might have been an apostle, you might have walked with Jesus, but don't you add works to the gospel. It's by grace through faith, not works. So there's a case to be made for Peter's failures. But let me briefly give you a more compelling case about how God used him. And look, many of us, we might have said, hey, I'm done with Christianity. Hey, I failed the Lord. The Lord had to rebuke me. Even other leaders had to give me a slap on the wrist. I'm done. I'm on the scrap heap. God couldn't use me. I'll quit. But no, Peter was not a quitter. And he writes these two incredible books, 1 and 2 Peter. Let me give you some reasons Peter might be an encouragement to us. Hang with me. All right. Peter was, as far as we know, the very first disciple called, Mark 1:16. Peter's boat was very probably the boat used in the ministry of Jesus, Luke 5:3. He gave what he had. It may be that the boat famously used in the ministry of Jesus belonged to Peter. Peter walked on water, Matthew 14:28. When Jesus was walking on the water, wasn't any of the other 11, Peter was bold enough to get out there and walk on the water. And in Matthew 16, Peter proclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Savior, Son of the living God." I love the way Peter thinks. John 6, when all these people walked away, "Are you going to leave too?" Peter says, "Well, Lord, where would we go? Only you have the words of eternal life." On what might have been sort of a day off for the apostles, Matthew 17, Jesus goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter, James, and John are there. So Peter is one who stayed with the Lord even when everybody else was off doing something else. Peter was an eager learner and asked good questions, Matthew 18:21. "Lord, should I forgive my brother up to 7 times?" Jesus says, 7 times 70. Peter was, as far as we know, the first of the 12 disciples that went to the empty tomb, not only walked to the tomb, it says he ran to the empty tomb on Easter morning. Peter got to preach at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Now, I love when the angels told the women at the empty tomb, go tell the disciples and Peter. Isn't that something? Last time we had seen Peter, he was denying Jesus. But God is not through. You need to know, just like in the life of Peter, when you mess up, or even when you procrastinate, or even if you wander off the path a little bit, God is not going to throw you to the side. God is not done with you. And so anybody could have preached at Pentecost, the beginning of the church, one of the greatest days in world history. And guess who gets in Jerusalem to preach the Pentecost sermon, and the Holy Spirit came, thousands were saved, and you and I are here today on the ripple effect of that. It was Peter. Amazing. Let me just say, Peter was quite the theologian. I mean, we read Romans and we think about Paul. All honor due to Paul, right? But 1 and 2 Peter, my goodness. The very famous verse on defending the faith, 1 Peter 3:15, "Be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that you have." It's amazing. In 1 and 2 Peter, you read about the divinity of Jesus, that he is the Son of God. You read about the inerrancy of Scripture, a more sure word of prophecy. And holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter wrote, the fisherman, uneducated, unlettered, spoke whatever came into his mind. Peter wrote two of the most significant, richest, deepest books in the New Testament. In Galatians 2:9, after Paul says, "I had to straighten him out on those Judaizers and the work salvation," Galatians 2:9, Paul says, Peter is a pillar of the church. Without the pillars, the building falls down. Peter is somebody special. Peter, we could say, John 1:42, might have been the first preacher ever ordained to the gospel ministry. Here, and was he perfect? No. Clearly, Peter stumbled, and just like the rest of us, groping along, trying to do this thing called the Christian life. Some days we get it right. Some days we get it wrong. Some days we get it real wrong. But you need to know, like Peter, God's not done with you. God's not going to throw you to the side. And Peter was a leader. And I love what he said in John 6:69. He said, "We have come to know and we believe, Jesus, you are the Holy One of God." So what do we take away from all this? Okay, first of all, Peter had great faith. Peter demonstrated great obedience. Peter showed amazing growth. And Peter left a great impact. And every one of us can leave a legacy just like that. Peter was, he had faith, obedience, growth, and impact. So let me say this. God is not trying to call people who never ever make a mistake. We're humans. We're going to mess up sometimes. Sometimes we're going to get on each other's nerves. Sometimes we accidentally offend somebody. But what we need to say with ourselves and with each other is, look, the good Lord's not finished with us. As long as we're in the land of the living and there's breath in your lungs, we're a work in progress. And the master sculptor is just chipping away at us. And some days the good Lord has to take some sandpaper to us and smooth us up, doesn't he? I've been subjected to some of God's finishing tools before. And at the moment, it's not fun, but we see what God is doing. And so understand in your own heart this morning, God wants to use you. And God has things for you you don't even know about. When Peter denied Jesus three times and even said a bad word, says he uttered an oath or a curse. I don't know that guy. Who would have known that in a matter of weeks, 53 days later, Peter would be preaching the sermon that would change the world forever? Isn't that amazing? God's not done with you. Hey, I'll tell you this, and we're going to pray. I got a call Thursday. Angie came in, and I was finishing up Exploring the Word, which is a radio show we do Monday through Friday. I've done it here sometimes. But a man called, and we had 10 seconds left, and he said, I need the Lord. And so I said, call me back. And he did after the show. And here's what he said. He said, 7 years ago, I was in a revival meeting. I was under conviction. I knew I was supposed to go forward. I was teared up and I was full of emotion. But I didn't go forward. And I need to be saved, but it's too late for me. I missed my moment, didn't I? I said, no. I said, and I read some scriptures. John 6:37, Jesus said, the one who comes to me, I will not reject. Isn't that great? John 6:40, whoever sees the Son and believes on him will have everlasting life. I said, look, 7 years ago, apparently you had all this emotion welling up within you. Now you don't feel all that emotion. Is the scripture different because you did have emotion then and you don't feel like you do now? No. The Word of God is still true whether you get the warm fuzzies or not. The question is not the old saying, it's not how high you jump, it's how straight you walk when you hit the ground. And I said, listen, God's Word is still true today whether you well up with tears and hear bells and whistles or not. Now, sometimes when the Lord touches us, we feel great emotion, and that's wonderful. And then other times, maybe you're just kind of stoic. But God's word is true. And I was able over the phone to lead that man to Christ. And I said, look, should you have gone forward 7 years ago? Of course. But you didn't miss your moment, quote unquote, because God is still calling to you right now. He said, how do I know that I even am seeking God? I said, well, you called me, didn't you? You're not ordering a pizza. I said, I think you're still seeking God. I mean, you wouldn't have called me if you weren't. And I said, look, God's promises are true. And if you call on the name of the Lord, you can be saved. This morning, some of you may be here and your assignment is to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Christian, and you know the Lord, but you need to understand that he wants to take your walk and your witness to another level. 2020 needs to be the year you really get into the Bible. 2020 can be the year that you invest in your prayer life. And I would suggest you please pray for this nation. Maybe you need to learn how to do soul winning and witnessing. Or you just need to understand that the past, good, bad, and ugly, it's past. God is the God of right now and the God of tomorrow. And like Peter, you're not going to be thrown to the curb. God wants to use you. Are you ready to be used by God? Let's pray together, shall we?